Our lesson this morning can be found in Revelation 19. We'll be looking at verses 3 through 6. And the gist of the lesson is this: the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He reigneth. Now, we live in a generation where men talk about letting God do this and do that. And that's a fantasy. We don't let God. He said, I do all that I please. And I do it in heaven, and I do it in earth, and the seas, and all deep places. He does according to His will. And before I read the text, I want to remind you that what's taking place here is the judgment of this present evil world. It may seem an odd time to talk about the Lord God omnipotent reigning, but this is the what would you say, the crescendo. This is the height of it. Is at this final judgment. And I'm talking about the judgment of religious and irreligious church members or bartenders or upstanding citizens or drug dealers. Doesn't make any difference. They're all going to stand before Him. And even those close to our hearts who would not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And this is a solemn fact. This is something we need to think on. Nobody's going to be saved but those who hear, believe, and repent of their sins. Now, I don't care how well you kept your bank account. I don't care how generous you are. I don't care how long you preached. I don't care if you was the model citizen and the hero of the county. It doesn't make any difference. Nobody's going to be saved but those who hear, believe, and repent of their sins. He that believeth, this is what our Lord told His disciples. Now you go preach My gospel. You preach it to everybody. You preach it to every creature. You teach all nations. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. It just don't matter who we are or how we've lived our lives, he that believeth not shall be damned. And even in this world, believers are brought to see the righteousness of God's justice in the death of sinners. That's what we've been talking about here. God is righteous in His judgments. My sister died yesterday morning. It was she's not a believer. And I've tried on many occasions to try to talk to her and just couldn't get to first base. She's been a Trinity Lutheran all of her life. She attended a Catholic church for a while and all kinds of religions and very superstitious about this, that, and the other, and I just couldn't get to first base with her in any kind of a conversation. And this judgment is going to come close. We're at that judgment. If we're believers, if we're saved, at that judgment, we're going to stand with Christ as He casts this world into hell. And when I say this world, I'm talking about everybody, even those close to us. Even our brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, and on it goes. Having the truth of the goodness of God and grace of God and His sovereign mercy toward us revealed, we take sides with God even in this world and even against ourselves. You ever prayed like that? You ever find yourself praying, God, You'd be just if You sent me to hell. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. But I'm not here to plead my righteousness. I'm here to plead for mercy. You know, two men went into the house of God to worship. And one of them, he was a publican. And the other was a Pharisee. And that publican, he couldn't so much as lift his eyes toward heaven. And he bowed his head, and here's how he prayed. He said, "Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. The sinner." But that old Pharisee, he prayed this way. He said, "I thank God I'm not like him. I thank God I'm not like other men." Huh? Did you ever pray that prayer? "Lord, you'd be just if you sent me to hell." And he would. But I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for mercy. I'm looking for mercy. We take sides with God, even in this world, and even against ourselves, and now gathered together out of every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue under heaven. God's elect stand with Him, who's on the throne, and we sing praise unto God as He casts this world into hell. Listen to this, Revelation 19:3. Let me just read the whole of the text, and then I'll make some comments. "And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Now let me begin by saying again that no man could possibly rejoice at this judgment who has not been born of God. The only way he can stand in this judgment and worship God and sing praise unto God at the judgment of those close to him is to have a new heart and a new mind, and in that day, no sin at all. No more obstructions. For we should know as we are known, and with pure minds we are enabled to do this. Listen to Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. He said in verse 3, "For we ourselves also were sometime foolish and disobedient and deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." There has to be a washing, don't there? You can't talk about these things or speculate about these things or teach these things with that old mind and heart. It takes a purified heart. It takes a heart where all those old deceptions and all those old concepts have been washed away. And they're washed away as we see the glory of God in Christ revealed. Those things are washed away. There's a cleansing that takes place in regeneration, or rather as the result of it, which purifies our motives and thoughts and reasoning, and it washes our vain minds. See, that's how we used to walk, in the vanity of our minds. But it washes those vain minds, and hearts from all its former deception and all of its false hopes, and it shows us that God is both just and justifier of all them that believe. So that they can say of God's judgment, amen. Amen. And secondly, I want you to consider this voice proceeding out of the throne. First of all, I want you to acknowledge this, that this voice is God our Savior. It's God our Savior. And I don't know if you've ever even thought about this, but in these last days, Paul said, God has spoken to us by His Son. By His Son. If God's got something to say to you, He's going to say it through His Son. His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also He made the worlds, who by Himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's where God speaks. He speaks through Him. He's the mediator. Will God speak to sinners? Will He yet, in His condemnation of men, speak to sinners? He will through His Son. He will through His Son. Listen to what God said to Peter, James, and John. They was up on that mountain and they saw Elijah. I can't even imagine what a hero Elijah must have been to Israel. How they looked up to him. He was a prophet of the prophets. He's that one who mocked them 400 prophets of Baal, stood out there alone. With an evil king and a queen that would have slit his throat in a heartbeat. And 400 prophets of Baal all gathered together out there. One man stood there for God, Elijah. And when they started to dance and go through all their shenanigans and of course everybody was being all reverent about it and they were out there cutting themselves and crying and doing, he said, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe you better holler a little louder. He might be asleep. He mocked them. He mocked them. Oh, what a prophet Elijah was. And then there's Moses. My soul. And you picture one man with millions standing behind him and Egypt coming down upon them and nowhere to go. Mountains on the right, mountains on the left, and Egypt behind and nothing there but a sea, a great sea and not a boat in the midst. What are we going to do? He said, I'll tell you what to do. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. Stretch forth that rod and that seed is peeled back. Huh? Moses, oh my soul, Peter, James, and John stood there looking. Here's Moses, here's Elijah, and here's Christ transformed right before their eyes, and His raiment and His skin and His face white and glistering, and they're standing there looking at Him, and they said, oh, it's so good to be here. Let's build three tabernacles. All of a sudden, Moses and Elijah disappeared. And God spoke, and He said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. Hear Him. Will God speak to sinners? He will through His Son. He will through His Son. He hath appointed a day in which He'll judge this world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. And the voice coming out of the throne is the voice of the Son of God, our Savior. And then secondly, I want you to think about this. I want you to understand that every voice of every preacher who's ever lived and served God in the ministry is a voice proceeding forth from the throne. Is that too much? Have I overstepped my bounds? Our Lord appointed 70. They couldn't have had too much maturity. He hadn't been preaching but just a short time. And here's these 70 men, and he anoints them and ordains them, and He sent them out into all those cities where he Himself was also going to go. You know what He told those 70? He said, he that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. That's what he said. So every voice of every preacher ordained of God, sent of God, how shall they preach except they be sent? But if they're sent of God, then that voice proceeds forth from the throne. They're his ambassadors. His ambassadors. There is but one voice which proceeds forth from the throne, and that is the voice of the Son of God. Will he speak through men? He says he will. He says he will. And our Lord said this, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Man, and they that hear shall live. Now, I don't know, but I've had men tell me that they heard me. They heard me. And when they heard me, they heard from God. And now they live. Isn't that something? Paul went so far as to say, I have begotten you through the gospel. No voice coming from God to sinful men that does not come from the throne of the Son of God. And then thirdly, what does this voice tell us to do? This voice that speaks, what does he tell us to do? He tells us to praise our God, all ye servants and you that fear him, both small and great. Praise him. Praise him. All those in heaven. All the angels. All the elect who have gone to be with the Lord. They all praise God. Every one of them. David said this. He said, praise ye the Lord. Praise him in the sanctuary. That's, we're gathered there today in the sanctuary. What are we to do while we're here? Praise the Lord. Sing praise unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. That's the environment. So all day long we're out here in this environment. This environment is an atmosphere in which sinners can survive, which men that he created can live and breathe and have a being and walk around and talk. And all out in this environment, in the firmament, we're to walk around and praise him who made it, who sustains it. Will I get another breath? I don't know, but if I do, I need to praise him for it. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Oh, my soul, when I think of the power, what kind of power must it take to maintain this world and to arrange providence in such a way that creation is sustained? Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. John said if everything the Lord did was written in a book, he said the world couldn't hold the books. If it's all written down. We don't have a clue. We know 50 or 60 things we could sit down and write on a piece of paper. Maybe if we had some time, we might come up with 100. John said if we wrote them all down, the world couldn't hold the books. Praise him according to his excellent goodness. Oh, our God is so good. And then he said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And then he closed with this, praise ye the Lord. Let me tell you something. If you can't do that here, you won't be able to do it there. You won't be able to do it there. We're going to have to be able to say with Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Huh? If we can't do that here, we're sure not going to be enabled to do it there. When I think of what my Lord and my God has delivered me from, has forgiven me for, and called me out of, when I think upon the great benefits of God, which have been given to me freely by His grace, and according to the good pleasure of His will, how can I not praise Him? What an evidence of the sin that still dwells in this flesh. We ought to 24/7 praise God. Praise God. And that's what He says. Praise our God, all you servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And then fourthly, John said, he heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. And as the voice of many waters, we stood under, I think they call it Bridal Falls, that little section of Niagara. We stood down there on a deck. I don't know how those men even built that deck. The wind from the concussion of that water is just, and the noise is deafening. And here he says this, it was as the voice of a great multitude, a number which no man can number, all of them saying the same thing and all of them saying it loud. And as the voice of a great multitude and as the voice of many waters, and listen to this, as the voice of mighty thunderings. And this voice is the voice of all God's elect. All of them. All of them. Well, you say, I know some folks, and I believe they're God's elect, but they don't praise God. If they don't, they're not God's elect. I assure you of that. And it's a point worth comment that the Lord, you know, He's talking about these mighty thunderings. Did you know that it said the Lord took old Peter and He surnamed him. He changed his name. Old Simon, and called him Peter. And James and John, sons of Zebedee, they called them Bernijes. You know what that means? Sons of thunder. That's what they were. They sounded that mighty voice which God caused to thunder in the hearts of believing sinners. Shakes them up. Shakes them up. Sons of thunder. And I can't imagine with one voice all the elect of God, innumerable, all saying the same thing. And the voice of this great multitude was as mighty thunderings. And here's what the thunderings declared. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He reigns in the heavens and He reigns among the inhabitants of this world. He reigns in the armies of heaven and among the armies of the sons of men. He reigns in creation and He reigns in providence and He reigns in salvation. He's the Lord of the dead and the living. He reigns. He's God over all, blessed forever. And Paul said in his times, He set a time for judgment. He sets a time for our salvation. You be careful, he said, when the Spirit speaks, and if you'll hear Him, if you can, You be careful. You be careful and don't harden your heart. You listen to what he's saying. He said, in his times, these times before ordained, from all eternity, he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. You know what a potentate is? That's a man who rules over everything. You know, you don't run into his presence unless you're invited. You don't question his authority. You don't question his actions. If he tells you to jump, you say, how high? Potentate. In his times, he's going to show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in a light which no man can approach unto. And Jesus Christ is the omnipotent God of glory. He's called the blessed potentate because his great power is used to distribute all God's heavenly blessings to chosen sinners. He has the power to do that. He's the blessed potentate because he's the only potentate appointed as the mediator between God and me. And nowhere else to go but him. He's the blessed potentate because he has the power and authority to bring all the promises of God to pass. He's the blessed potentate because he's worthy of the power vested in him. And nowhere does his omnipotence shine as it does in the light of his own judgment. Now, I'm talking about God's judgment on him for sinners. It'll shine in the judgment of this world. But the reason why this great multitude can sing hallelujah is because they saw it shine first in him. And both he and his people stand together at the judgment and are in full agreement. And they all sing of his omnipotence in the salvation of sinners and the judgment of all those who would not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And everything God reveals about himself is more clearly seen as it's manifested in the salvation of sinners. And the salvation of sinners is brought to pass by the Lord Jesus Christ. None other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He is, Paul said in Hebrews 1:3, the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person. And he is, as I said a while ago, God manifest in the flesh. Now listen to me. Is God just? Is he just? David said justice and judgment are the habitation of his throne. They lived there all the time. They didn't just come there and visit for a while. They lived there. They lived there. Is God righteous? Is everything God does right? Hosea said in the closing verse of his prophecy, the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. Is God the God of judgment? He judged mankind in the garden. His judgment was present at the altar of Cain and Abel. He judged this world with a flood in the days of Noah. He intervened in the lives of men at Babylon and confused the language. Will God judge sin? He has, and he is, and he shall yet. He's a God of judgment, but God is also love. He's good, he's merciful, and he's gracious. And in Christ, all God's attributes are manifested in the brightness of the Father's glory. Justice. We talked about that a few minutes ago. Justice. He died, the just, for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Judgment. He was taken from prison, Isaiah said, and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Righteousness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Love. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Mercy. Oh, he said, but God, who is rich in mercy, and for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, quickened us together with Christ. Grace, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. But why are these men singing about God's omnipotence? Why are they here shouting at this judgment about God's omnipotence? Because only the omnipotent God could manifest this glory to such worms as we are. And in that day stand safe in the shelter of his grace and his mercy, and onlook as he cast this world into hell, and justify him both in our salvation and in their damnation. Only the omnipotent God could manifest this glory to such worms as we are, and overcome such great obstacles, and pay such a great debt, and suffer such a great death, and then rise from the dead and ascend into glory and there reign until he put all his enemies and ours under his feet. And when that day comes, those who have seen his glory shall say, as the enemies of our souls are being tossed into hell, they're going to say, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. We hoped that he was. We trusted that he was. We saw him as it was manifested. But now we see it in its pureness and we sing hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth.